Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say.
About family.
Women.
Philosophy.
Politics.
History.
People.
Money.
Pop culture.
Kids.
Fighting.
Business.
Life. Join the conversation.
312-957-7210.
Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7. Worldwide. At jonesandmike.com.
This hour, election reflections. Why is everyone crying? What will the Trumpocalypse look like? And why in the world would a billionaire want to be the POTUS with the mostest?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, you can translate for me the Chinese translation of this. It was a Chinese proverb that I believe said something along the lines of, may you live in interesting times. Do you know the Chinese for that?
I do not know the Chinese for that. And if you think you were about to bait me into doing one of those dreaded ching chong, there's not a chance. You have zero takers on that one.
But you did it, though. You did the ching chong thing.
I know, but clearly I did it is speaking out against it.
No.
I clearly did it in a manner that a social justice warrior would have handled that situation. So I am in the clear.
Wait until my manservant, Charlie, gets a hold of that in post. We're going to totally make that. He, of course, is an Asian American.
Right. It will come right back to Jones. Can you translate this? Why, sure, I can. Michael, ching chong, chang, bing bong, chung.
See? You can do it, dude. Very good. Very good. I believe what you just said in Chinese is, may you live in interesting times. And we had the most unbelievable week last week in the Cubs World Series victory, and then followed it up with Trump.
It's amazing. This year, 2016, has been crazy, largely in the world of sports. But then when you cap it off with a Trump victory, I mean, honestly, I really take it as inspiring. Whether you wanted Trump to win or not, I'm talking about this entire year. Whether, I mean,
the lows of Bowie and Prince and, you know, on and on and on.
Yeah. Things that were unexpected out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then you have all these sports teams, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cubs. You want to go over to England and Leicester City.
All right. Tell me about Leicester City. What's the big deal about them?
When they won the Premier League this year, they were like 5,000-1.
They were like the Cubs. If the Cubs wouldn't have been picked to win it.
No, that was a bigger upset. The biggest upset of the year in the world of sports is Leicester City winning the premiership. There's nothing even close to that.
Yeah, so that would be like, I don't know, like the Bears winning the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah, right now, if they were all of a sudden to just go on a tear and win every single game for the rest of the year and then win the Super Bowl. That's what happened with Leicester City.
And had they ever won the premiership table before?
No, they were always a bottom feeder. Always. And then they just caught fire one year.
Is there a playoff system over there? Because if not, then it's unofficial.
There's even worse than that. There's a relegation system. And they've been relegated multiple times. So if you finish in the bottom three over there, you are dropped down into a lower league.
Into like the minor leagues.
Yeah. Oh, and that kills your revenues, everything. All the profit sharing that you get from like broadcast deals and stuff, gone. You don't get that.
That's where the Sox should be. The Sox should be AAA in 2016.
Yeah, but can you imagine that if you were a team that had never won the league, never won the top flight league, you'd been relegated multiple times, and now you are in a world of where there are absolute haves and have-nots. Mm-hmm. You've always been a have-not. Nothing happened to make you a have, and somehow you clawed your way to the top, like Donald Trump.
Yeah, and so, yeah, a year of unexpected results. And so I had predicted before the election that he would win the popular vote and then get trounced in the Electoral College.
See, and that's funny. I texted you the day of and said, Hillary in a landslide.
Uh-huh, right.
And I couldn't, when I came home to watch the election coverage that night, I don't, you know me, I don't vote. I think our political system is a joke, and it maybe is the best one going around, and it's still a joke. I still like election night, just because it feels like a sporting event. You know, the scores going up. And I kind of dig that. For one night, I can get invested. And part of it is because I do a split. I head on NBC, and then I'd flip over to PBS. Yeah. I'd watch NBC until they really started to annoy me, and then you flip over to PBS, and they're all very calm and calculated on PBS. I can take their presentation for longer periods of time.
Mm.
So I was watching, I was flipping back and forth.
So two pretty leftist presentations there, NBC and PBS.
But it doesn't have anything to do with, but they don't, PBS doesn't really hit the leftist presentation so obviously.
Very soft, calculating tone.
It's warm. That's fine.
I like to go do the yin and the yang where I kind of go like Fox. Okay, you guys are doing your Foxy thing and then go over to MSNBC.
Well, what I did was I was watching NBC. And then I was watching PBS bouncing back and forth. And then I got a text from the henchman. And he said, hey, I know you love protests. Are you down in Mount Greenwood for the Black Lives Matter protest? And I texted back like, no, I'm just watching the election at home. Stopped the message and then thought to myself like, are you...
I'm going to miss a protest?
I'm like, that is like the ultimate, like... That's like Black Lives Matter is like the gold standard in protesting.
They must really be pissed if they tore themselves away from the TV on a night like this.
I know. And then to go down to Mount Greenwood to do it. I was like, I have to go.
Yeah.
I have to go. So I got in the car and then I listened on satellite. I listened to Fox News Channel. So that's how I got it all in as I was driving to this protest. Went down to 111th and Troy. Nobody. No protest. I drove to the South Side for no reason other than to get my fill of Fox News Channel.
Were you mad at the henchman? Did he mislead you on purpose?
No. He was going to mislead on purpose. He might have thought that there was something going on. And maybe there was something going on earlier in the day. Then they went home at night to watch the results or whatever it was.
Yeah, these professional protesters, they got, you clock in, you clock out.
So
and you go
I
home
got
to
them,
the family.
I got them on their clock out part of the cycle, which was disappointing. But at least it gave me some Fox News Channel time. And the thing that I loved about all the presentations, PBS, very calm, calculated. They had a Democratic strategist. I'd never heard of him before. This guy, Cornell Belcher. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, great name, though.
Oh, my God. Look, Google this guy.
Yeah.
He has the best hair that you've ever seen. He's black. And I went on Facebook and I was like, I don't care who's president, but I want to know. But I'm falling in love with Cornell Belcher's hair. Can a white man get hair like this?
No way.
It's phenomenal.
It is kind of like charcoal gray, like little like dreads or something.
No. This is a different guy. It's like a Q-tip puffed out, but it's kind of grown. It's almost like what Jimmy Butler does, but he's like an older man, so it's all gray hair. So, you know, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I saw this guy. Yeah, okay, I guess you're right.
Now it's even more gray. Now it's even more white than what you're seeing. It looks awesome. No. So I would watch PBS and just be obsessed with his hair. Then I would flip over to NBC.
You once were obsessed with Peter Vesey's mouth.
Peter Vesey, the
basketball analyst on NBC.
He just is
who
weird
had a bearded
hair.
Mouth, and you would turn your head, and you'd be like, "It's like a vagina."
We didn't need to go there at all. It's in no way relevant.
Was that house talk
to what we were talking
about?
Did
I just give up one of your dark secrets?
That's so.
You have pleasured yourself to Peter Vesey's mouth?
So I'm driving to Mount Greenwood.
And now you're dreaming of Cornell Belcher's hair.
I'm dreaming of his hair. But I have to say, the two biggest kicks, though, I got, though, were listening to NBC and Fox News Channel, like, try to couch their bias. Because through the whole night, something would come up where, it appears down in California that people who were voting for Republicans, it was coming up as Democrats. But now they've fixed that situation. Okay, that's good. All right, we've got that situation.
Oh, on
that's
MSNBC, good. They were
no,
saying that?
No, on Fox News Channel, they were saying that, like, okay. Well, good. So we're getting those votes. We're getting those votes.
We're?
No, they would say, we're getting those votes.
Oh, my God.
And they would pause. They would go, okay, so we're getting those votes. sort it out for the people so it's accurate.
Oh,
like
Jesus.
All of a sudden they would realize that we're not getting one, that they had been saying it in a way where it was like they were getting one for the team. They're like, oh, well, we can't say that.
I guess like Jake Tapper on CNN, like when like New York or some blue state was officially projected to be a Hillary win, he's like, he reported that we won New York. And it's like, we?
I know.
What is this we stuff?
Well, then I would watch NBC and their analysts would say, well, I think what we didn't calculate the, and this wasn't like a strategist. This was like the reporters going, yeah, I guess we just did not anticipate or do a proper job of listening to the rural voter and calculating them so we could strategize. It's like, no, you're not supposed to be doing any strategy. Like, but you could tell, like, and then they would go, because we want a fair election.
Oh,
like,
man.
I loved it.
Well, that's the thing that I think is really an awesome takeaway from this. Two things. One, it's because people like me and like, right, you know, Rush Limbaugh and people like that for forever have been saying that there's a liberal media bias, and it's like it has never been more apparent than now. And moreover, Fox News is righty, yes, but like there's a lot of liberal over there too, dude. So I think the media in general, A, has been exposed for what it is. If you're liberal, then you love it. If you're not liberal, obviously you're decrying it. And if you're someone like me who has worked in the media, newsrooms and whatever, like I'm just put off by all of it. Like, you shouldn't be rooting for either side, man. Like, you've got to be professional. And two, America has caught on to it, clearly has caught on to it, and is rejecting it. So I think that's a very positive step forward for all of us.
That we're catching it?
Well, yeah, and that we can classify ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN, whatever, all of it as just entertainment. It really is no different than watching WWE. It's fake. It's scripted. You can almost predict how it's going to end. And so if you want to take it in as entertainment. And if you want to, you know, categorize it as such, you know, compartmentalize it in your brain that way, then fair. Cool. And I can't think it's kind of out in the open now that it is just entertainment. And you shouldn't be getting your news from, you know, MSNBC, for example. Like, this is Rachel Maddow. Literally, you couldn't make this up. This is a clip of her on election night. Listen to this.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Yeah. Like, she's about to break down.
It's crazy to watch people come. I mean, you want to talk about people becoming unhinged. There was a guy. We had an event on Wednesday night at our office where it was like after hours, people were coming over to meet clients, what have you. And we kind of set it up in a party at like balloons and streamers and all sorts of stuff. And other people from the floor saw that. And one guy thought we were having a Trump party, which I thought was funny.
What?
But there's another young guy in the office that knows some of the other young people in my office, and he's always itch. He likes hanging out with us. He's always itching to come over if we're staying afterwards to have a drink or whatever, kind of chill out. And we were having this party, and the event was mingling with millennials, and it was like recent college grads, I should say, that could meet different clients of ours and, you know, talk about any kind of opportunities or whatever.
Sure.
So when they didn't come, there was a young guy who was supposed to come over, Mike, from the office next door, and he didn't show up. And then the next day I was asking, like, hey, I thought Mike was supposed to be here. What happened? And one of the girls was like, oh, you didn't hear. He didn't make it into work. I was like, oh, okay. And I was ready to move on from it. She's like, do I know why? The girl was like, you know, I know why he didn't make it into work. I was like, no, why? What was wrong? He called off work because he was upset with the election results.
Oh, no, really?
So he didn't go to work. I couldn't believe it. And I have to say, you know me, I'm the millennial whisperer.
Yeah, you are.
But I have to say, I've been seeing this attitude a bit more and more now. Although it's clear to me that what people accuse millennials of being, it's really only maybe 10% of people who are in that millennial age, but it stains the whole group.
That's right. One bad apple spoils the whole bunch, Jones.
What a millennial move. I'm not going to work. because the person who I wanted to win an election didn't win an election, and I just need some time.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, like, literally, it was just a week ago, I was saying, there's no crying. What are you people crying over the Cubs for? And then just days later, people are crying about an election that almost doesn't impact your life really at all.
I challenge you on that.
You think it impacts us?
No, you can cry when you're happy, like when the Cubs win the World Series.
Oh, to you, this makes no sense, but the Cubs, it makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Exactly. I need to know more about the protesting and all of the friggin' crying, and I know you have answers for me next. It's Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, I have a very millennial and lefty company that I work for, as you know, and they were circulating, ostensibly from the management, they were circulating emails. If you are distraught about the events of last night, the election night, we're here for you. There are resources, employee resources for you. The manager say, my door is open to you if you need help. If you need help coping, had like a meeting on like the seventh floor where everyone could get together and like, you know, talk about it. And like, they signed it like Su Familia or something. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, it was just an election. Like, I was kind of bummed in 92 when Clinton won, I got to admit. So it is kind of like a youth thing that you overreact to things. But like, I stared at the TV. I was a little bit pissed. Then I went to bed. And that was it.
But is there anyone else at your office that's like you that is kind of looking around and like, what is this for? What is going on?
Yeah.
Why do we need this?
Yeah,
just be you. There's no way.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. And you know, and might as well get into it right now, dude. If you're not of that mindset, you don't feel like you can say or roll your eyes or anything. You can't say anything about it because then you're... And that's how this election cycle went. If you didn't think it was a big deal that there should be a wall across our southern border, then you were agreeing with racism. And it's like, dude, I don't know who's coming in across the southern border. If they're Mexican or Guatemalan or Saudi or Kenyan, I don't know who they are, or Irish. I don't know. All I know is I lock my house at night for a reason. I don't want people coming into my house. They shouldn't be there. So, to me, this is our big house. Our house should have locked doors, and we should invite people in who we want to invite in. Like, that's not racist to say that you should have a secure place, but, like, everything got flipped where if you were voting against, or, you know, for Trump or against Hillary, then the meme became, you're voting for a glass ceiling. You're voting against women. You are a misogynist. Like, everything. So you felt like you couldn't speak out.
Well, I sent you that clip of that guy, that British guy, earlier in the week who was like observing the election. And God, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
Seems like Jonathan Pye or something.
Jonathan Pye, yeah.
He seems like he's like a comedian, commentator or something.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like he's a comedian, commentator, almost a little like British Alex Jones-ish because he got so apoplectic about everything. Mm. But
very leftist.
But he made a great point when he said, look, I think why the left lost this election is now the climate of political discussion is so poisoned, so toxic, that there is no debate, there's no discussion. So people who would be against an issue that you are supporting, if you're on the left side of the aisle, it's so poisonous now that people don't even feel like they can talk to you. So they're going to stay silent until they find themselves inside that election box, and then they get to click their little buttons. And
you don't even know how it goes. It's so cute.
No, I do.
You don't even know how to vote.
I'm just saying.
You don't know. Dude, it's like a Scantron now. It's like a Scantron. In fact, I was
Scantron?
Like... Scantron? Yeah, like I got in there and I go, God, I hate
you that. Voted?
Yeah, I go...
God. Oh my God, you're an idiot. Why did you vote?
Because I wanted to know what... Because I wanted to not be an idiot God. Like you who doesn't even know that it's a Scantron test.
No, then you just put it in there and then you just hit the little box.
No, you don't understand what you're talking
about. The last time
about.
I went in, you just put the... You
I know,
got a
I think some places have screens and
yeah,
other
that's
places...
Yeah, the screen.
I had a paper ballot and so I did... You had
you
to
voted,
fill in...
You're
you
such
fill
a
in the
fool.
Ovals... And then when you take, you're done with filling in all your ovals in a pattern. I like to do a pattern. Then you bring the sheet up and there's a woman standing in front of
well,
like a giant machine. Yeah. And so you stick it into the machine and it like go, it gets sucked in. And I go like, hey, is this a shredder? And she goes, oh, I hope not. And then she kind of looked out into the distance like, what if I'm standing here and this is a shredder? So she started questioning the way she was spending her day, which... I think she was having a fine enough time. Even if it was a shredder, I didn't care. She didn't care. We're all good.
So last week you were embarrassed that I cried during the Cubs World Series victory. And now,
you're
I'm
embarrassed that
I went out and voted. I thought we were linked in non-voting.
No,
who'd
because
you vote for?
Of course, I voted for Trump. And then I voted for libertarian candidates if there was an incumbent running.
Oh, you're so dumb.
And then I voted all the judges out. Like, I never vote to retain judges.
Okay.
And then I never vote for if you're going to, like, raise my taxes for any reason. Like, literally, it could be, like, we're going to kill 100 babies if you don't raise it. I'd be like, sorry.
Is this...
You guys got to go.
Is this...
And... But these referendum, dude, these referendums that I voted for, they were worded so slanted.
Oh, of course they are. They always are.
Dude, well, no. Sometimes it's, hey, do you want to raise your taxes to build a new library? Yes or no?
I've never seen them worded that way.
Oh, I have.
They're
these were like, would you
clever.
Like to save money by combining the streets and sand that's, of your township and your city? It's like, who would vote no against that?
That's the way they've always been
dude,
worded.
Dude, that's
I've
not cool.
Them. They've always been that way whenever I've read them.
So here in Wrighteville and Redville, like, they were voted, like, would you like to save money? And it's like, yes, yes, of course, 1,000 times yes. But I have seen the, would you like your taxes to be increased? And it's
I
like,
can't.
Nope. So that's how I vote, dude. All incumbents right. out. And to me, in this election, Clinton was an incumbent. So,
okay.
So she had to go.
We're going
to
move on.
That's fine,
but I just want to let you know I'm very
that I'm a Dumbo. Would you like a safe place, and would you like to find some time to chat with one of my managers who will help you cope with the events of last night?
No,
as the emails said,
we're going to move on, and we're going to get to the celebrity reaction to the election of Donald Trump.
Oh, celebrities had reactions. I didn't know this.
I just want you to know that I am very disappointed that you voted.
That's perfectly fine. No. And you know what? I'm on the winning side. Here's the thing. What I don't understand is I didn't watch the election night coverage. I watched reruns of Drunk History, actually. And we had a great time watching Netflix because I was like, I don't want to see this either way. I don't want to see this quote unquote entertainment that passes as news. But to think that you're at home, I guess, with no rooting interest at all. Like, you didn't care who
it's
won?
It's like when you watch, it's like if you go to a Super Bowl party. Sometimes people just go, this
no,
like,
but
this
you were
is
watching it by yourself.
Watch.
That's not a party.
Well, no, but you're still witnessing the event. So I was witnessing the event. I do it once every 4 years.
Yeah, and so, okay, right. And so I witnessed the event of going into the polling place, talking to people, seeing how it is.
You're a voter
But here's the thing. It only took, like, 8 minutes door to door.
I know.
You spent hours by yourself like a creep.
No, but that's not. Yeah, but I'm still not
alternating
there
between
going,
watching the television and then
I'm
you know,
still
flipping
not
over to your
giving,
picture of
I'm
Peter
not
Vesey's
giving a
mouth.
Thumbs up. I'm not giving a thumbs up to this corrupt system and go, thank you.
How is it corrupt? The guy I voted for won. It seems to me that hate wins, and so does democracy.
No, you got to be kidding me. You're a voter now. We've clearly talked about this.
You know who you're starting to sound like? You're starting to sound like Miley Cyrus here.
Maybe I really am different, and maybe a lot of people that I'm surrounded by think with open minds and open hearts like I do.
It's her on election
night.
And I
do want to say that I've been very vocal for my support for everyone besides Donald Trump. Heavily supported Bernie, heavily supported Hillary.
Yeah.
And I still think that in her lifetime, she deserves to be the first female president.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, she better hurry. What is she, 69?
69, yeah.
Oh, my heavens. That, you know, so Miley is putting out, she was one of the people who said she was going to move to Canada. Maybe that was her actually coming to grips with,
I know,
I have to move to Toronto.
See, and that's,
which wouldn't be so bad, I don't think.
No, I like Toronto. Yeah. Toronto's very nice.
Little cold, but pretty nice. Pretty cosmopolitan. World city, dude.
Toronto's not crazy. But see, I like watching it for the night because not the election coverage for the night because I like to invest myself for those 1 to 2 days because when you get celebrity reaction like this, it kind of, I know what's gone into it a little bit. I kind of know the story of what they're reacting to. So I kind of can be, I can participate around the water cooler a little bit. Uh-huh. So that's why I like to watch it for the one night.
That's why I went and voted. So that when people are like, dude, my polling place was like dot, 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 I could be like, oh, here's what I experienced.
I know, but that's crazy talk. That is just crazy talk. But
I had to know, 16... are there people stumping right out front? Is there a long line? If so, what kind of people are they? Have they ever voted for? I want to hear what they're, it's like when I was in line to get into the courthouse and I was the only one in a suit. Like all these defendants, like hundreds of defendants, all in the defendant line. And we were all going in and I was the only one in a suit. And I'm like, what the hell? And these people were like experienced defendants. Like they're there all the time. I was listening to their conversations, kind of enjoying it. The same deal. I wanted to know, are people all coming out of the woodwork to vote for Trump or to vote against Trump? Or what is this? And then what I found out was no lines and it's a Scantron test. So there, we both like to just know things, right?
I guess. I just thought
be able to speak with authority.
I just thought this is now my election night disappointment. I thought we were on the same team. Let's just go to the celebrities.
Yeah. So all these people said they were going to move to Canada. I have to ask you, Jones.
Yes.
Did they do that because they really thought that people would go, I'm going to vote a certain way because I can't live without Amy Schumer living in America.
I can't lose Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
I was going to vote for Trump, but I can't lose Jon Stewart.
Right.
This is really, truly the favorite part of the election cycle for me is when the celebrities who are so far up their own asses that every 4 years, there's always a list of them that's, they come out and they make that threat. I would respect the hell out of any celebrity that would just one time pick up and move just for the 4 years. Even if you just bought a residence there and you stayed like 30 days each year.
Meanwhile, if you're an actress, they're, you know, half the movies are made in Canada anyway. Like, you're probably already there most of the time.
I know, but I just want to see someone pull the trigger on that. You go down the list. Here's a list of 16 celebrities that were supposed to be leaving the United States if Trump got elected.
Hmm.
Jon Stewart, Chelsea Handler, Miley Cyrus, Nev Campbell. I don't know why she's even on the list. No one knows who the hell she is.
Hmm.
Lena Dunham. She's one of my faves. We'll get back to her.
Mm-hmm.
Cher.
Hot.
Al Sharpton. Spike Lee. Barbara Streisand. Amy Schumer. The aforementioned Amy Schumer. I was disappointed to hear this one. Sam Jackson. I just didn't think he was going to fall for that dopey trap. Natasha Lyonne. Don't know who she is. George Lopez. Disappointed in that one. I like George Lopez.
Yeah.
Raven Simone, Whoopi Goldberg, Bryan Cranston, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Now, I love, out of all of those names, Whoopi Goldberg, Amy Schumer, and Chelsea Handler have already come out grossly over the top saying, in tears, I will not be leaving, and I am going to stay here and make a difference, and I will fight. As though anybody needs to have those people around. It's un. What is it like? They have in all of their circles of friends, there still has to be one or two people that they there just has to be that they knew from junior high or that they knew from high school that are pipe fitters, that are bakers, that are school teachers, that are grounded people that would pull them aside and be like, Chelsea, what the hell are you doing? What are you talking about? You're going to pick up and move to Canada. And then when you don't do it, you try to make yourself even more of a hero than what you were trying to do months ago. And all you are is a dopey comedian.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a guess.
How are you getting this far ahead of yourself?
I'm just going to take a wild guess. And I don't know. I don't know all the names. I know most of those names. I mean, all those people are like... like lefties, right? Those are all like
they have
liberals, right?
Yeah. I mean, for I would go right down the line and say all of them. I don't know anything about Neve Campbell. Wasn't sure about Sam Jackson, but the rest of them are pretty lefty. I would. I mean, come on, Schumer, Streisand,
sure.
Spike Lee.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, most of them were pretty obvious. So, and another fair question. I don't know. Does Canada have like crazy tax laws? Like, did they just like go, okay, I am moving. Like, how about like when we went to the Bulls game and they lost to Utah and then we wanted to go to game 7, we were in the parking lot, buzzed.
I know.
Maybe drunk. And we were like literally trying to like call United Airlines to find out. Like, we didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
Yes.
But we were going to go to Utah. Because we had to see the Bulls win the sixth championship. Because we had seen the championship the year before.
Right.
We were just so into it, right?
Right, yes.
Did these people, maybe they were really passionately, they were going to do it. And then their accountant called and said, like, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think you should move to Canada.
Yeah, but if you're going to make that claim, shouldn't you think that far ahead? And, like, at least know, like, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say this. And when I say it, I know I'm going to be able to pull the trigger. And just to let you know, both CBS News and Fox News, so I'm being fair and balanced here, Lena Dunham today just announced she is going to break her election promise. She is not going to move to Canada either. Surprise!
So then it's either a financial thing or...
No!
Then it really is that they believe that people will vote a certain way based on whether
yes.
they live in a certain country.
I think these people are so crazy. I think they're so crazy that they
yeah,
do believe that.
That is nuts.
And when you take politics and when you take Hollywood and you put it together, it is crazy times 10. And especially when you go through an election cycle, it's like crazy times 20. Think about what you've been watching for the last year, year and a half with Donald Trump, with Hillary Clinton. They have tried to rally their base by being out of their gourd in almost everything that they were saying or proposing. And actually, in a way, you can almost understand it. If for a year or year and a half, and this is what both Donald and Hillary have done, and this is what people in Hollywood do all the time, you're surrounded by people who want to hear whatever it is you have to say and say yes to whatever it is that you want to say. But after a year or year and a half, you're going to sound like a lunatic. A lunatic. They've only been going to rallies, and all of a sudden, if you're sitting there and you can say, no, I want to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall 10 feet higher. Same thing with Clinton. Same thing with any of these actors and actresses that are surrounded by these adoring fans.
Well,
they never get put in check. They never
for
get
these
counterpointed.
Candidates, I got to say.
It grows and it grows and it grows.
What you're describing is how you win a primary. But in the general election, typically you have to then go to the center and start to temper your crazy
they
promises.
Don't do no one does that anymore because they know no one relies on the Ken Bones of the world anymore. That's why I was ripping on that chubby dope. They sit there and all they try to do now is to
activate. It's Stan Gibson 18 to you.
I apologize, Mr. Gibson. But all they do now is try to activate their base. That's all they're concerned with. They're not concerned with changing. They're not concerned with having a debate, changing anyone's mind, winning anyone over. They only are concerned with firing up their core to make sure that their core shows up.
I don't know, man. I don't really think I can't think of anything that either one of those two fools said in the last 6 weeks before the election that was kind of basey, as you're putting it.
Well, I'm talking about to activate. What I'm saying is to activate those people who, how do I put it? So, for example, people who really like Donald Trump, they like where he is coming in terms of on immigration, right? And the more that he talks about immigration, the longer the wall gets, the taller the wall gets, the more that he's going to ban people from Muslim countries entering the United States.
Until there's a better system to vet them.
It doesn't, that's no, we don't have
the
to,
second
no, no, no,
half
no, no,
of
no.
the sentence,
it
though.
Doesn't, it, no, it doesn't matter. My point is those first parts of the sentence are what really churn people's emotions and activate them.
I don't know. I don't agree.
I do. That's absolutely the case. Because now in the last 48 hours, the guy has started taking that stuff off of his website because he knows he's not... All of those things that people get rally behind, they're not... All of those things they really get rally behind, they're not going to pull the trigger on that when they're in office.
So you believe people went, you're going to ban Muslims? You got my vote.
Yes.
I don't believe that. No,
yes,
because it was like in the same sentence, and I don't believe people just heard the first six words.
That's typically what anybody hears in a debate.
I would ordinarily give that to you, but then now you're falling into that trap that they've laid, that the people who voted for Trump, stupid and racist.
No.
That's not true, dude.
Some,
and some are stupid and racist, voted for Clintoris,
yeah,
if you will.
That's the same thing. You can do the same thing. I just because I'm pointing out what happened to what happened to Trump supporters.
But that's
what
the
I
thing.
To Trump supporters. That
it
same
didn't
thing can happen
Clintoris
with Clintoris
at all. But it didn't. It didn't because she never said anything controversial that it was ever reported. I didn't go to any of her rallies, so I wouldn't know. Like, she was completely insulated from that stuff. And so the only time you saw her was in a positive light, or it was like on stage with Bey and Jay-Z. You know, of course, those two great supporters of women historically. So I don't know, man. I don't know how it can be any more clear. Like, Trump was cast in every negative light throughout, and Clinton in every positive light throughout, outside of the alt-right media. You know, who reads them? People that were going to vote for Trump anyway. So, like,
right.
So people were persuaded in this election.
I think it's persuading. My point is, I think the key now isn't to persuade people's votes. I think it's to persuade them to energize, to get them out to the polls.
Well,
that's
right.
What it is, and that's why people voting booths.
You got 30% base on either side, so 30% we're going to vote for Trump no matter what. But the more he said, "I hate Mexicans and Muslims," according to you and others, you know, then they loved it even more. They were in a fervor over it, and 30% of people were going to vote for Clinton no matter what. For every promise of free this or free that or whatever she was promising, they were going to vote for her anyway. So then it's the 30% in the middle. We'll say 10% we're going to vote for this dope Gary Johnson who doesn't even know a world leader's name. And then 5% we're going to vote for, like, Jill Stein, who, like, she's arrested every 5 days because she's a lunatic. So, but that middle 30%, they were persuaded. And they were persuaded because I think Trumpy was out there being like, you're out of work or you're underemployed or you can't make ends meet. We need to bring jobs back to America. So he threw out, like, an idea. I'm going to make it impossible for them to bring your jobs overseas. Whether he can do it or not is immaterial. He at least threw a message out there. And I think Clinton didn't really throw a message out there. She just appeared on stages with Cher and stuff, and that was supposed to be enough.
Right, okay. But what I'm saying is, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I think Trump did a better job, at least in those key states, because he didn't win the popular election, but in those key states, he put out a message that made people want to get out and vote. But I don't think that there were people who were, I just don't believe in the undecided vote. I don't believe, I think the idea of those Ken Bones of the world, it's very charming that people wait till the end.
Yeah, I don't
they
know.
They try to descend,
so there's
decide, and get swayed.
There's another older.
In that
there's
boat.
Another older dude. Somebody told me this week that I'm no spring chicken. So
I know.
It's like, well, screw you, man. What's that supposed to mean?
I was wondering when I saw you get that message. I was wondering what you thought of it.
Yeah, and you know, I think he's just a guy, so I'm fine with it.
We both know that guy, and I think he's been that way. Even if he heard this, I think he would agree. He's been that way since he's 30.
Yeah, like, my life's over. I guess I'm a no spring chicken. The guy who sits across from me is no spring chicken either. And I said, hey, who are you going to vote for? Or who'd you vote for? I love asking people that. I was asking people in the polling place, who are you going to vote for? I love it, dude. I love just pushing people's buttons and see how they react.
You know what? I will say this. Knowing who you are, and even though I'm upset that you voted, knowing your personality, I could see how much you would love doing this. So there's a part of me that feels like...
Oh, it was the best 8 minutes I've spent since the last time I got laid. It was great. It was great.
Going forward, I would prefer that you would go through the whole circus, then go in, pull the curtain behind you, not do anything, and walk out so you at least get to stir the pot and leave.
No. It was great.
You're a grown man.
Somewhat. So, and I loved the thousand-yard stare people would give you when you'd ask them, who'd you vote for? Who are you going to vote for? Their mouth would go open. They didn't even know what to say. Like, you're not supposed to ask me that, was what their eyes said. Just a look of total fear. And then I'd leave it like hanging out there longer and longer to see, like, will they say? And then they just would never answer. So I'd have to then change the subject. So a guy at work, I see him and I'm like, hey, man, who'd you vote for? And he's like, oh, I haven't voted yet. And I'm like, well, who are you going to vote for? And he's like,
I haven't voted yet. I'm still deciding.
Yeah. And he goes, well, I don't know. Probably Hillary. And again, we're in a super leftist place, right? So I'm like, oh, yeah, why? And he starts, like, prattling on about this or that or whatever. And within, like, 2 seconds of me hardly even saying anything, I had him convinced to vote for Trump. And it was like, dude, what? You're going to vote in, like, an hour? We've had a year and a half to think about this? And like, I don't even know what I said, but I said, like, a couple of things. And he eventually was like, yeah, it's a good point. Maybe I'll just vote for Trump, whatever. And I'm like, what?
There are
people out there like you're describing, dude.
I know that they're out there. But to win an election, I think the strategy has changed. And they're not worried about grabbing the Ken Bones. They're worried about...
Watch it.
Oh, I guess that was kind of a little entendre there. Certainly not meant for the beautiful human submarine himself. But...
You just believe that they can whip up and capture their 30% and that somehow...
We've got to make sure another that we 10% get the Cub fans over. To Wrigley Field.
That's right.
We've got to make sure we get the people who like the Cubs and the Sox to Wrigley Field.
That's right.
They're just worried about the Cub fans to Wrigley and getting the Sox fans to guaranteed rate thumbs down field.
All right. So then what I need to know then is what are people protesting? Because you are... You're the millennial whisperer, but you're also the protest whisperer.
I do love a good protest.
And you tried to attend one on election night, and you've been to one since, yes? Because it's right around you.
I have, man. I want to know what this Trump presidency will look like. We've kind of already started.
That's right. Who's fighting and what for, and what are the next 4 years going to look like next on Jones and Mike?
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. I was concerned about you, Jones, when I found out that the protests were kind of centered around your area. I mean, they were at Trump Tower, but then they were, like, spilling out on a Lakeshore Drive, and the news reports were that they were going up to the Gold Coast. And I went, that's where Jones lives. That's where Jones lives. I'm concerned about this. Did you see protesters, like, running around up by you?
Not up by me, but... As I was coming home from work, I found myself in the middle of a protest.
Oh. What are they saying?
They're saying, not my president, not my president. But they would kind of do it half and half. One side says it, then the other side says it.
Oh, I like that. In the round.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was good. It was good. So it eventually worked.
Were you like right in the epicenter of it? It's that's like shrill.
Yeah. No, I walked. It was perfect timing. It was perfect timing, as I was walking right down. State Street, and right as I turned, that. The protest just came right alongside me. It was literally.
Oh, they were like on the move?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were on the move. They wanted to walk past the ABC camera studio window.
Oh.
Which was funny because they even stopped before they were about to get to the window, like, hold up, guys, let's get together. Because they want to keep the group tight so they can walk across the window.
It looks massive.
I know, but the funny part was, and I'm thinking to myself, like, isn't the studio under construction? And so they're all walking by, like, they're all paused, like, hold up, guys, wait, stay together, stay. We want them to see us. We want them to take pictures. Here we go. Let's go. Let them take pictures. Let's do this.
Oh,
and they're
my
walking.
God.
And as we're walking past, it's all blocked off. There's like a blue tarp over all the windows. But it was one of those things where it's like when you trip on the sidewalk and then you don't want to give in. You just like kind of try to act like it was part of you were starting to jog or
That's
something.
Right.
So they're still doing the like, they can see like no one is looking at us and they're still, not my president! Not my president! Not my president! Not my president! It was great.
Dude,
it was just all like
protest
Columbia
leaders
College
suck.
Students.
Well, right. What are they protesting about? Did anybody articulate anything?
No. I mean, it was just they were protesting. Basically, it was they don't like Trump, and they were using the Electoral College as kind of that attacking point.
What, they want the Electoral College to reverse?
Yes, it should just be the popular vote.
Oh, they want to get rid of the Electoral College?
Yeah,
or
that's
are they
what
trying
a lot
to?
Of,
so, I guess the Electoral College votes on December 19th.
Yes.
So
that's the funny part. A lot of people don't realize, like, we still got some doing. Like, the Electoral College could switch it up.
Well,
they won't.
They could, but boy, that would take like 40. So, like,
no way.
It would take, at last time I looked, I think Hillary was like 40 electoral votes down.
Yeah.
And so that'd be a lot of flip-flopping. And then I think you have a lot more than some Columbia College students out there pissed off. Like, I think that would be a very bad thing for our country.
No, and I don't think they're going to do that. I've seen a bunch of my friends on Facebook calling for that. But then when they do, I've noticed a lot of people who even admitted to voting for Hillary going, look, ultimately, that would be so horrible. Let's move on if you want to take that energy.
Yeah,
on the next four.
Get rid of the Electoral College. It's an amendment. You know, so it's both houses of Congress. It's 2/3 of states.
Yeah, no, there's
like very difficult to get done, but it could be done. And I think there's a lot of Americans that would get on board with it.
But no, what I'm
saying, that's a better fight to me.
Okay, and what I'm my point that I was trying to make is people were hoping that they could influence those in the Electoral College to not follow that vote and to put Hillary in. And that's where they were like, look, we don't want that. Let's keep this system
as is
and fight again another day and refocus on 4 years.
Sure.
But it was funny because the last 3-4 days, my whole neighborhood has just been awash in helicopter blades.
Really?
Everyone is just over the top. All the news agencies are around trying to get their overhead shots of protests and things of that nature. And it really caused me to think like, okay, what is a Trump presidency going to look like?
Yeah, really.
Like, what is it really going to look like? Because so many people are freaked out about what's going to get repealed, what will change, what they're going to do. And it was so funny because I'm thinking to myself, like, you know me, part of why I don't really believe in our political system is very little changes. And it's not a system that's built for change. It's a system that's built to kind of scrape off of whatever influential leaders are at the top. That they're not really thinking about us. Judd Apatow, actually, to go back to celebrities, made a point earlier this week that Donald Trump is not, he's not going to take care of all of us. And it's like, he's not supposed to take care of all of us. I don't want any of them taking care of any of us.
I want them to get out of my life. Yeah.
So with that in mind, though, I really started to think like, okay, well, what the Trump presidency, in my opinion, Roe v. Wade is not getting overturned. Agree or disagree?
Of course not.
There's no way. I do not see that happening for a second. Well,
and I will stop you there, and I'll say that is, I can understand leftists being upset about the outcome of this election, and I could understand if it went the other way, righties being upset.
For judges.
Controlling the Supreme Court.
Sure.
That I think it was ridiculous that now he's going to go down as like a footnote in history, like a trivia question. Merrick, what was the name of the judge that Obama wanted to put up for the Supreme Court?
I don't remember.
To replace Scalia, who now Merrick something. I got one of the names right. I think that was ridiculous. He should have been sat, even though, you know... It was funky timing, but Scalia died like 9 months ago. What? That was ridiculous. What, for a whole year before an election, we can't fill a Supreme Court seat?
Right.
Meanwhile, they're making rulings. That job needed to be filled.
Right.
That is one of the gigs of the president.
So yeah, and that's probably
Obama
the biggest
got
gig.
Screwed there.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And that's really probably, to me, the only part of the gig that really matters.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that, but it's a big one.
That majorly matters.
It's a big one. Oh, well,
yeah.
Well, wait a second. You're saying that the main gig of the executive branch is to appoint the judicial branch?
But yes, because...
Oh, my God. You're embarrassing yourself.
No, because it sets the tone beyond their presidency.
Yeah.
They can have an impact beyond what they've done. Obamacare, you know, Trump has already come out and said, oh, keep some of the parts, it won't keep some of the other parts. You can kind of chop and change those things immediately. But when you're talking about Supreme Court judges, I mean, Trump could nominate these people and then his ticker could pop the day he's out of office.
That's fair enough.
So
if you're talking about legacy, that's fine. But so long as we're
about.
On the topic, let's just get it straight for once and for all. Legislative branch makes the laws, the president enforces them, the judiciary says whether or not those laws should be laws at all. That's it. It's really that simple. This idea of ruling with your phone and your pen, Bush with his executive actions and orders, BS, man. If Trump is out there like making laws, I'll be out there protesting this prick. For reals. And the first thing on politicalfact.com, by the way, which has all of like Trumpy's campaign promises, he said, like, in the first 100 days, these are the things I'm going to do. The number one is cancel Obama's executive actions on immigration and guns. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. Great. Great idea. I hope you actually do that, because there shouldn't be any like laws being made by the president. That's it.
We will watch for that.
So you can go down the list of all of the things he said he would do.
Okay.
And it's
so,
like your scorecard at home.
And do you think he will? Okay. So now going on. So we both don't think he's going to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's not going to happen. Now he's going to appoint some judges.
Well, he can't because it's a
no, but I'm saying he's not. No. But what I'm saying is everyone was saying once he's in power, he's going to appoint these judges and the wheels will turn. But I don't ever see that being overturned.
Well,
right?
I don't. I don't agree with you.
You think it could be overturned?
Oh, of course. Of course. Then that's why it is important to people and that the president gets to appoint these people. Like, I think Ginsburg is going to, like, fly the coop now. I think she's pretty much been... She's had enough. She has had enough. She's 83. Like, I think she's going to leave now.
Okay.
So I think Trump's going to fill, like, multiple seats.
They say three.
Yeah, like that's pretty significant.
No, it is. But what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about is it possible. I know it's possible in terms of structure. Do you think in our lifetime, what would you say if you had to put a percentage on it, that Roe v. Wade would
60-40 for getting rid of it? Yeah, 60% for getting rid of it. I could see that.
You
yes.
think there's a 60% chance in our lifetime that Roe v. Wade will be overturned?
Totally. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, I think
maybe
there's
more.
Almost a zero chance.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll see
right,
who wins.
Next. Any kind of, like, gay marriage, do you think he's going to touch that?
No. God, no.
No, I don't
think so. He's been a fan.
Right. So, well, here's the thing. The guy was like a playboy for how many years? I don't see him going in there and being a socialist conservative. And I think that's what's got a ton of people like their knickers up in a bunch. But he's never really came across as a social conservative guy.
It may be like urban legend, but I guess like, you know, he and like Caitlyn Jenner were like in one of his, you know, Trump Tower hotels or something. And she wanted to know where the bathroom was. He was like, use whatever bathroom you want, whichever one you're comfortable in.
Yeah, I could actually see him doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he was elected even by like evangelicals and so on.
No.
For his rightist
social stance. No, he didn't grab that vote. I don't think he really grabbed that vote because he didn't get a lot of endorsement. Well, he got some endorsements, but there were some significant like Christian groups that said, we can't support him, we don't endorse him.
Right.
Now, okay, building a wall. Do you think he will build a wall?
Oh,
and does he have to build a wall in order for his presidency to have meaning?
Of course, totally.
So if 4 years from now, 4 years from now, let's say concealed carry, law of the land, he's not even speaking an ounce about, say, Roe v. Wade or anything like that. He's really just kind of he's staying away from the social justice warrior issues. But he allows everyone concealed carry. He, what's another big one? Makes it really hard to get a green card, whatever it is. But let's say he does those two things, because they rarely does a president like do a ton of stuff. But he doesn't put up a wall. What would you say of the 4 years?
Oh my God.
Do you feel he has to put up a wall to have a good 4 years?
He not only has to put up a wall, but he absolutely has to be able to show how Mexico is paying for it. He has to. And moreover, I'll say this, and I think it's a long shot, but if you do not prosecute Hillary Clinton and possibly Bill and Chelsea and other people, then that's signaling that really nothing's changed, because this election, the people that voted for Trump voted for him because they want the rule of law restored on our southern border, immigration throughout our country. When he was talking, you know, when he's talking about Muslims coming in unvetted as migrants from North Africa and from Syria and elsewhere, he's talking about an immigration issue, that we have to have a system that vets people from every country in any country, and we have to know basically who they are. And right now, it's just they're literally loading up planes, it sounds like. I don't know. Maybe like the FBI is working overtime on every guy from Ethiopia who comes in here. But it just feels like it's the wild, wild west.
Now, do you feel with regard to immigration, will he start mass deportations?
Not a chance.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I don't think
either.
That's a good idea. And when I drive through Little Village, I go like, no, don't mess this up. This is a great place.
Yeah, and I don't think, even though that sounds great to some and that really kind of rallies that kind of fringe element of the right, I just don't think people would have the stomach for that, to see people being loaded up on a bus and shipped back. I don't see that happening at all.
But what you could do is just make it very difficult for undocumented workers to get jobs, and just say, if you're caught hiring undocumented workers, you're out of business.
See, here's the thing, though. We have to figure out so we put up a wall in play. I agree that there should be, we have to have some discussion and some solution about who's coming into this country from Mexico. We absolutely have to know that.
Well, from any country.
Given
from any,
I know, yeah. But let's be honest, the issue is Mexico.
They're coming in from that country, but there are people from all over the world congregating there to come through that border. Yes.
But by and large, it's still, I know that was always the thought, that anyone could come from anywhere and just walk across the borders. Well, I haven't seen a ton of evidence about that, but I'm sure it happens. I think the main thing is, though, still, you're having Mexicans that are coming across that border. Who are they? How are they getting here? But when you're looking at that, when you look at that country, it has deteriorated so much in the last 10 years. I mean, it really is shocking to me. Like, I always knew, compared to the United States especially, it was a poorer country with its problems. People wanted to get away, build a better life for themselves. But now you can almost look, like, if you're looking at a Mexican father of like twin girls, it's like, look, I know it's against your rules, but I got to get out of this place.
Why not blame them for wanting to come?
They're chopping off people's hands now. Like, it is bonkers over there.
Wait. Who's chopping off whose hands for wanting to come here?
No. I'm talking about how cartel, like, for example, cartels. Or as an example, talking about how Mexico's falling apart. It's already, it's jobs are very hard to come by over there. Strong, good-paying jobs can be very hard to come by over in Mexico. The cartels are taking over. If any political figure or police agency tries to step in, they're murdered. Their families are murdered. Just 2 weeks ago, they found a rival gang. They walked into some room of some cartel's rival gangs, and they were 10 people when they were alive with their hands all chopped off. Like, it has gotten ruthless over there. So I understand why the hell people want to get out of there, but we do have to come up with a system that kind of organizes, like, who's coming in there. I would like to see... I just don't see them getting, I don't see him getting the support to be able to build that wall. I'd like the discussion to be, without the wall, what system can we put in place where we can make this possible, where people can come into this country, but we also know what's going up? Because I don't think he'll be able to pull off a wall, not in 4 years.
Well, okay, then I'll say this. If you're going to do any executive actions or orders, then the wall has to be one of them. If Ryan and McConnell won't get on board with funding a wall, then, you know, you've got to make that happen. If he goes back on that one, he's going to have more problems than Columbia College students out in front of Trump Tower in Chicago.
Okay.
And again, it's not because we wanted the... But it's like, you know, for once, we want someone to follow through on what they say they're going to do, for the most part.
Yeah, and, that's the most you can hope for.
It's about restoring the rule of law. And it's about, look, first of all, you have to stem the tide. You have to, and it goes for a wall, a tangible wall, but it also goes with, you don't let people overstay their visas. If not, there has to be some sort of way of stopping that, finding them, getting them out. Like Irish, Polish, Saudis, students.
Whoa.
That's how those people get into this country, by and large. They come over as students, and then they just drift into the society, and it's not right. Secondly, the people that are here, they have to stay here. You know, but we have to have an orderly system in order to vet them, make sure that they're not criminals, and we need to bring them into the fold. So that has to happen. Third of all, we have 30% of our federal prison system are people that are illegal aliens. They have to be deported immediately. We can't pay for these people and then deport them. $50,000 a year for an inmate. We're going to pay for that, and then you're going to deport them anyway. Get those pricks out of here. Put the wall up, and then get everybody who's an upstanding, contributing member of society, amnesty those people in.
Okay. What if he builds the wall, but Mexico doesn't pay for it? What say you, Michael Nunes?
Well, I think that he's got, there are ways to make them pay for it. It wasn't like he was going to send them an invoice and then they were going to pay for it. Like, there are ways of taxing them and stopping the flow of money out of the, which is a big problem, of money going from illegal aliens south of the border. There's a way of taxing that money in order to ostensibly tax Mexico.
What I'm saying is, what if he did none of those things but built the wall that you wanted on your dime?
That's a victory then, because again,
still a victory.
Well, yeah, you know, again, the making them pay for it was a bit of a jingoistic kind of a nod toward the dopey. But again, those are people that literally thought there was going to be an invoice sent to President Nieto. So they're kind of dopes. But what he meant is, there are tons of ways to get Mexico to pay for it.
Okay.
But even if he doesn't do any of those, it's still a victory.
Okay, so
get the wall up, and then also get military along the wall, by the way.
Okay, so Donald Trump, to be successful, in your view, and you voted for him, so this is why this is very important.
Uh-huh.
In his first 4 years, if he simply gets the wall up,
in his 4 years. By the way, no second terms. All of you pricks out. Mitch McConnell is already being like, no, we're not going to talk about term limits, because that's also one of his, I promise I'll work on term limits. Like, all of them, including the president, term limits, one and done.
See,
get out.
And I agree with you, but then I think the term should be longer. Like, give him one 6-year term.
Fine. Like, look, there's already a 2-term president, term limit. That one's fine. These folks in Congress, though, like, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
And if these guys want to stand in his way, again, executive order that thing, and Americans will get on board with that.
Okay. So, but back to what...
It doesn't sound legal,
but... I know, but what I'm asking you is.
Yes.
So in his first 4 years, maybe his only 4 years,
sure.
by his choice or by the people's choice.
Yes.
If he builds a wall, whether it doesn't matter how it gets paid for, but he builds a wall and concealed carry is the law of the land.
I don't know where this concealed carry comes from. Like, it's already legal in most places. It's legal in every state, actually. So you're talking about like open carry or something.
Well, maybe, I'm sorry, maybe that's, I...
But whatever, put that aside.
I'll actually have to look that up. I keep saying concealed carry.
Are you asking me what I believe would be the things he has to get done in order for him to be successful? Yeah, I will tell you off the top of my head. It's the wall. It is, it's pulling out of NAFTA. Not renegotiating it, just crush it. Get out of it. The U.S. pulls out of the free trade agreement with Canada and with Mexico. Get out of TPP, which hasn't even been ratified yet by Congress, but get out of that trade deal, which was signed secretly, and the details of it were not to be publicized by our complicit media. So get out of that quote-unquote free trade agreement as well. And already, Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, he's beautiful, and Nieto down in Mexico, they're both like, we want to renegotiate NAFTA. And it's like, yeah, I know, you guys want to get ahead of it because you know that it's a crappy deal for American workers. So coinciding with getting out of those free trade deals is he's got to impose tariffs. And he has to get rid of things like corporate inversions, which allow these corporations to merge with, like, you know, an overseas company in order to get lower tax rates or get out of paying corporate taxes in the United States. There are all sorts of ways that the American worker is getting screwed, and he absolutely has to follow through on those things. So whether or not we can open carry, I don't really care about that so much. But yeah, the wall is important, and all of those kind of virtual walls that are keeping American workers down, that's why the Rust Belt went for Trump. They're tired of losing in Ohio and Indiana and in Michigan.
So if he gets all of those things done in those first 4 years,
huge success.
And do you think then he would be voted, he would win the majority vote 4 years from now?
Well, yeah. I mean, if those things result in American jobs returning, the manufacturing sector getting, you know, it's been completely decimated. It's gone. So if, like, you start to see manufacturing back in the U.S. and prices haven't gone through the roof, like, I kind of feel like there's going to be an economic recompense anyway, whether or not it was Clinton or just Trump character. So I feel like the economy is going to take a dive anyway. But if it doesn't, and then jobs return too, huge success. Huge.
I like
what you're doing. Huge, Jones.
I like it.
So, yeah, and if Lena Dunham would end up moving to Canada?
That's what I really want. I just want one person, one celebrity, just to follow through on that. I would respect the hell out of them if they would do it. Don't make these proclamations anymore. Don't, like, use your, like, national mouthpiece and then do that.
It's not as bad as when Bush was running the second time around, and I remember Cameron Diaz went on Oprah's show and said, this is almost exactly what she said, if George Bush is elected president, women will be raped. And I was like, what? What, you duck face? What are you talking about? Like, I kind of was like a Bush head back then. I, you're dumb, you're young, you make mistakes. I made mistakes. But I remember thinking, like, how could you go on TV and say that?
Yeah, well, I do.
Isn't that like shouting fire in a theater?
About that, but I do remember that now. That was a good one.
So that's how a Trump presidency would go down. But I think that what you're really grappling with is you don't even understand why a Donald Trump would do this in the first place.
Why did he do this to himself? I felt stress about it. I feel stressed about what he's done to himself.
You're stressed about what Donald Trump has done for himself or to himself?
Oh, it gives me nightmare. It keeps me up.
Oh, my God. Next, Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight,
sunlight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Trumpy wanted to go to UFC 205 in Madison Square Garden tonight, and I guess Secret Service said no.
This is why I started to feel anxiety when I realized he was going to become the president. When I went to bed before I got the results, and then as I would wake up in the middle of the night, I would just click onto my phone to see what was going on, and I saw it looked like he was going to win, and then he was announced president, and I couldn't believe it. And then I just, for whatever reason, because it was such an upset, I was not anticipating it. I got this pit in my stomach, like, ugh. I felt the same way when Bruce Rauner got it. But then my mind immediately switched to, why did he do this to himself?
Well, you're saying he's not going to have the greatest life ever as president?
No. If you are the president of the United, you have to be mentally ill to truly want to have that job. That's one of the worst jobs on the planet. Everybody has a say about what you're doing. Everybody is in your business. You are the leader of the free world. Yeah. And you have no freedoms. You can't go to a ball game or a play or a concert whenever you want.
Well, you're acting like he was able to go with a cap on and sunglasses on and go to Whole Foods and squeeze the kiwis.
No, I meant before he was president.
He never was. He has lived like this his entire life.
No
yes,
way.
It will be
you're
slightly
crazy.
More constricted now.
Oh, it'll be way more constricted.
It'll be way more constricted. Only because up is down and black is white and everything's in bizarro world now. The people that are the people of tolerance are the people calling for his assassination. People on the left are saying, it'll be okay once we assassinate Donald Trump. And it's like, what? No. Kill the president?
That's not
why
it.
Would
that's
you even
it.
Joke about
you
that? But that's the only reason why it'll be more intense for him
reason.
Now is because people are wanting to kill him now.
No, that's
they didn't
well, okay,
kill
that's
him
part
two
of it.
Years ago.
No, that's part of it, and that's part of any presidency. You have this max security that's ridiculous, but you don't have a free schedule to go wherever the hell you want.
Well, that's true. You can't
His
go to Scotland and golf for
alive.
A week and stuff.
I know,
but you know what? I think you'll see.
That's what he could do.
But that's the thing, though, man. You know how much vacation time Obama just took? Do you know how much time off Bush was down? At his ranch months at a time.
They were boring people that had sucky boring
lives. They were boring people that had no life in the limelight before this.
I know
to speak
this
of.
Guy had
this
all
guy's
of it.
Lived his life this way.
Yes, he's had all of this. He could go to any Yankee game he wanted. He could go to any UFC game he wanted. He could have he was a playboy. So I don't want to act like I'm endorsing this, but he could have any lady he wanted and a lady on the side.
Dude.
He can still try to do that,
dude.
But you've just made it so much tougher. He could pick up at any moment and do whatever the hell he wanted. He's 70 years old. How many good years do you
reason.
Have after 70?
Tons if you're Donald Trump. He's ageless.
You're out of your mind.
No, look, at his age, all that matters is, as you say, legacy, power, adoration. Like, he was, for better or for worse, his ego is obviously, astronomical, maybe off the charts. Maybe they ought to just kill him, take his brain, study it, and find out how expansive the human ego possibly can become. He's probably the biggest narcissist of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
However,
absolutely.
He has lived a little bit in his daddy's shadow. So this was a way for him to be DJT on the map. My dad didn't do this. I did this. And I think that that's important to him. Secondly, he will continue to... Do you know that on the campaign stump, on the trail, he would fly home to New York and sleep in his own bed? Like, I guess regularly, he would make a point to do that. I believe that he will spend more time in Trump Tower than he will in the White House. And I'm actually fine with that. When Bushy was down on his ranch and people would cry, it, I'd be like, look, he's got everything he needs to be president
That's
there.
Never, ever bothered me. What bothers me is this guy had a golden life. Now you're tied to, there are just going to be points where your life is going to be interfered with. And now a guy who had all the money and all the freedom in the world could go anywhere. There are going to be times, a lot of times, where you just have to make way for that trip to talk to some dopey king of Spain.
Well, yes, although I think that he'll do less of that. And I think that Pence guy is going to be leaned on to do those things more than most vice presidents have had to.
Yeah, but why would you give up any of it? Why would you give up any of it? It was interesting. This week I was listening on Sirius, and I was listening to Howard Stern.
Oh, your boyfriend.
And it was, listen, you were on the, how long were you on the campaign
trail? He's the greatest, the king of all media.
Yes.
He is.
You were,
he is.
Talk about boyfriend.
This is one of those weeks I wish I had SiriusXM to hear what he had to say.
And it was fascinating. And Stern had called him multiple times while he was on the campaign trail, because they're kind of buds. And he was like, Donald, I don't get it. Why are you doing this? You have everything. You have all the freedoms. You have multiple helicopters. You have beautiful residencies all over the world. You can go anywhere. Once you get this, you will not have that freedom. Why are you doing this? And Donald couldn't give him, he never really did give him a direct answer of why he was doing it. But Stern kept saying to him, like, this is insane. Everybody's going to be in your business. Whatever, even if, he even said to him, he's like, even if you wanted to have a woman on the side, it's going to be so much tougher. Like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Oh my God.
And I look at it, and it's not just from the woman on the side perspective, but it was just, if you could just picture yourself with all of the access that he has, the excess and the access, why would you give up a minute of it to be the president of the United States, to be in a history book?
All right, so you postulated that he did not believe he was going to win.
I didn't believe he was going to win, and I didn't believe that he believed he was going to win. And I think he kind of pooped a little in his pants when he won.
Dude, wouldn't it be great if at the same time that Hillary was, I guess behind the scenes, like, she didn't, like, it's typical that even if it's like 2 a.m, like, the loser who's conceding will come out and address her, you know, supporters that are in attendance at campaign headquarters. And she didn't do that. Now, I'm not saying that's the first time in history that's happened, but I believe it's pretty rare, and it may be unprecedented. Like, Podesta came out and he was like, go home, we'll address you in the morning.
Yeah.
Now, she may have been actually behind the scenes being like, all right, are we going to contest this? Are we going to lawyer up? Blah, blah, blah. She may have also been like, hey, maybe I need to cut a deal and get a pardon for myself and my husband, my Huma, whoever. Maybe she was cutting a deal. Like, I'll concede, Donald, but I need a pardon, or I need you. I promise you won't prosecute me, et cetera. I don't know. It's said that she was, like, hysterical behind the scenes.
That's
crying,
what I've heard. She was
blaming Comey, blaming Obama.
Yeah.
Blaming everybody but herself, etc. But what if, in a parallel universe, or in this universe, at that very same time, Trump was crying to Melania?
Yes! I could see that! I would be... And honestly, here's a prediction. I predict in 4 years, Donald Trump will not be elected in November, because he's just going to do this for 4 years and get enough. I bet you if he gets the wall
built... What did you just say? Did you say he'll only be a one-term president by choice?
Yes.
Okay.
He'll pull a Polk, and he'll be like, oh, I'm out of here.
Oh, I didn't know that James K. Polk did that.
He went into office saying, I'm only doing this for 4 years.
Yeah, my kind of guy right there.
And actually, Polk's presidency is very underrated. He accomplished a lot. He said, I have these 5 things I want to do. And then I'm out after 4. I bet you if he gets a wall built, as he said he was going to do, he can puff his chest out on that, and then he's going to be like, I'm getting the hell out of here. I still have a couple good summers in me. This is the stupidest job. This was the dumbest thing I've ever done. Worse than owning the generals.
Dude, did you see Melania's lesbian photo shoot from 1995 that she did? Do you see this right here?
I see it now.
Yeah. Now, granted, it's 20 years ago. And she does kind of, like, I hope she's very seen and not hurty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I hope she's not super out there like Michelle. No. But, like, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at this little 25-year-old. Not little, actually.
She's
beautiful. There's like a little paunch there and stuff on both of them. I like it. They're a lot of women. and they're kind of like getting ready to do like girl on girl in this picture. And like in the New York Post, this is why the European press is better. They like blur out her nippies and stuff. Like, I wish they wouldn't have done that. However, she's able to get on board with that. So you're telling me he needs a girl on the side when his old lady, I think the first lady would have a second lady into the bed.
Well, I'm not calling for him to do that. I think this Melania Trump she's going to go down as the best looking first lady ever.
You just said go down.
I didn't mean it like that. I didn't just come back to Earth.
Okay.
I think she will be rated as the most attractive first lady of all time.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think there's any question.
Wait, Dolly Madison? Sup?
She was well-liked, but I don't know that I would put her as the hottest. I think Jackie O has to be the
Yeah, and she was so empty-headed. Like, she may have actually been dumber than Melania, and that's saying a lot. Well, I don't think a lot's going on.
I'm not even talking about from the perspective of the girl on the side, but any ball game, any fight.
Rosalind Carter?
Can't go to Vegas for the weekend and, like, walk around like big man on campus in a casino. He could do that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He can't do it now. Dumb move.
Yeah.
Being the president of the United States is a stupid move. You have to be mentally ill to want that job.
Okay, what's dumber? Being the president of the United States or voting for the president of the United States?
Oh, being the president.
Oh.
Voting is just a mistake. Being the president is an act of choice that you could have gotten out of long ago.
That's right. That's 1,400 days of mistake.
And at this stage of life, like even with, look, Obama was the president of the United States, so ergo, mentally ill. But he at least has 20 to 25 years of his life to live it up. And he will.
Oh, God, yeah.
Trump cannot do that. He screwed up. Stupid move.
He screwed up. I would love if he would agree with you. Like, Brian, you're making a great point.
I guarantee you he would.
It's a huge, huge point you're making.
I guarantee you he would. I could put together every nickel I've got. That's four.
The only thing littler than his hands are that guy's brains.
Oh, what a stupid, what an amazing miscalculation when you were living the greatest life ever.
So now you're the guy living the greatest life ever.
Sadly, it's come to this. It's fallen to this.